This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Copper Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talk the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Go to the phone lines. Robert's in Fort Smith. What's going on, Robert?
Hey, guys. You guys are talking about the basketball tournament moving around. The one tournament that does need to be altered.
I agree there.
It's horrible where it's at.
Yeah, I mean, and they've signed some, like, lifetime contract. It's like a 25-year deal or whatever with Hoover, and I don't get it. I have always been a proponent, and I don't know what you how you feel about this, Memphis. They need to work it out and play it in downtown Memphis.
Yeah, that'd be
awesome. Would have the feel of like what they do in Nashville, where you could walk out of the ballpark like you walk out of Bridgestone and you're there in the middle of everything. It would be the same thing in Memphis. If they could work it out with the Redbirds to play it there at the AAA park, that would be awesome. And it's, I think, more centrally located for the rest of the league, particularly now that you brought Texas A&M in.
Well, the reason why they had it at Hoover, and this was Chuck around 10, 12 years ago, or longer. Alabama and Auburn were pretty good in baseball, and the Ole Miss, it wasn't a bad trip for Ole Miss. But now, then, like you said, there's a different swing. A&M, Arkansas, and people aren't going to Hoover, and that's why it needs to be moved. But that was the realism.
No one shows up. You watch it on TV. It's hard to say these are meaningful games when you look and there are tens of people in the stands, literally. Only time is Robert's right. The only time people show up, Alabama plays Auburn.
Yeah.
And I remember, it's been 5 or 6 years ago, they played like the 9 a.m. game, and a lot of people didn't even get into the ball because the traffic. Mm. Have you been to this place, John?
I've been to.
To a baseball game?
I've been to a baseball game.
The traffic
place, yeah.
Logistics. There's literally, and back me up on this if I say it wrong, Robert, there's one way in and one way out. I mean, there is not.
Yep.
The traffic is a nightmare if you have any kind of real crowd there. And they had like a sellout crowd for the Iron Bowl of baseball down there 1 year. And there were people stuck in traffic that didn't arrive till like the eighth inning. And that's a true story. It was just they were not prepared for it.
Guys. Appreciate the phone call, Robert.
Yeah, I agree. The Hoover Met is a terrible place for the conference baseball tournament.
And that's the thing that when it was brought up, because I think that's a great point. And also, you're talking about a conference tournament that is, there's no question about it. It's the best conference tournament there is in college baseball.
I
doesn't get close.
It's harder to win the SEC baseball tournament than it is to win an NCAA regional.
I agree with you.
Because maybe
of the
even
high level of competition.
I'll even go as far. In some years, the top to bottom teams in the SEC tournament are tougher than the College World Series. You'll find a better collection of teams in Hoover than you will in Omaha.
Yeah. No, I'm completely.
Now, that doesn't mean, they obviously all don't get there, but yeah. I mean, it's a hard tournament to win.
Yeah. So then it's just like you said, though, it's just sad that it's in Hoover and move anywhere else and it doesn't get anybody there.
It's never been a big revenue generator for the league, but the league has passed a point where you got to worry about losing $25,000 or $50,000 or whatever it is they spend to take league officials and put them up in a hotel in Memphis. I've just been a big fan of Memphis because I-55 runs down north and south. You could get people from Missouri there. You get people from Mississippi there. I-40 runs right through it. Easy to fly into. You get people not only from Arkansas, but Tennessee. And like I said, the rest of the league can fly in. Hoover, nobody gets excited about going to Birmingham. Memphis, there's other things to do.
Yeah.
There's great food destinations right outside the ballpark. There's the Blues. There's music. There's
more of a destination.
You got the pyramid with the Bass Pro in it. Now you just got more things to do in Memphis.
Yeah, and because if you look at it, I know again it's not the revenue generating sport that football and basketball is, but the football is in Atlanta, hot Atlanta. I mean, it doesn't get bigger than that.
Everybody can get a flight to Atlanta, usually nonstop from anywhere.
Yeah, just fly Delta, you'll find a way into Atlanta, and then you have the basketball tournament is in Nashville most of the time. But it does rotate, and then sometimes it's in St. Louis. I think it's going to be in New Orleans next, as far as the rotation
they've
there.
They've had it in Tampa.
They've had it in Tampa. So, I mean, they got it in different other places, too.
But I think it's going to, Nashville is now the permanent home. It's only going to rotate out of there, like, every fourth year or something.
But that's the thing. It's like, okay, you go to all these places, these big markets and all that. It's like, okay, so where's the baseball? I get to go to Hoover. Oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Great. You know, I think
but
I have a Whataburger.
If it wasn't for, and it's a pretty good one.
It is.
If it wasn't for the SEC tournament, I don't know that Hoover Med would even still be standing because they've obviously moved their minor league team across town, downtown, to a newer, nicer park. And why they don't play there, I have no idea.
Yeah, be too easy.
I think it's also part of the fact that the SEC headquarters are in Birmingham, and they kind
of
want influx of money. And it's not going to be a lot. As much as we talk about if it was in Memphis or something, but they feel like they need to help out the surrounding community. And back to what you were saying, the SEC tournament basketball-wise, it's going to be in Tampa 2022. Outside of that, it's going to be in Nashville till 2025. Yeah. So it's going to,
somewhere else. I mean, it's like every 3 years they go somewhere.
Which is fine.
Break it up.
But, having it in Nashville makes complete sense.
It wouldn't surprise me. And I know it's in the heart of Big 12 country, but having it in Dallas sometime.
I wouldn't be surprised.
You think they'd go that far west?
I don't know. Well, I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, they went to St. Louis, which I know is not like, but that's pretty far north.
Geographically pretty far north. You're going to Tampa.
Yeah, I mean.
What's the difference in going to Tampa and coming to Dallas?
Yeah, so, I mean, you're having those switch-ups, too. But I think we all can agree, though, that the SEC football championship's never going to move.
No.
It's going to stay in Atlanta, even though I think it'd be cool to have it in, New Orleans or, somewhere like that. You just don't have a lot of
You think
NFL
where
stadiums.
Else could you have it? You could have it in Arlington.
Yeah.
You could have it in New Orleans. You could have it in St. Louis, I guess, where the Rams did play.
Yeah.
I guess.
I don't know what they're using it for these days.
You could have it at the Liberty Bowl. Never mind.
Don't do that.
You could have it in Nashville.
Yeah, it'd be cold.
It'd be outdoors.
It'd be cold, and that'd be fine. You could have it in Tampa Jacksonville.
You could have it in Charlotte. Now, I know that's not in the SEC footprint, but
still,
that's where the SEC network's at.
Yeah, you could have it in Miami. I mean, you could have it in places.
But
I know that.
I think Atlanta, with the investment that's been made on the new dome there, it ain't moving.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane there. I mean, that place is crazy.
Hey, I don't mind Nashville for the basketball tournament.
I don't either.
But I do like the idea of, hey, we'll play 3 years, and then we're going to go somewhere. We're going to play 3 years. I mean, because fans at some point get tired of going to one place, even though Nashville's a great town. Best city in the SEC.
Oh, yeah. As far as just city itself.
But, my only beef with it, on a Watch Your Beef Wednesday is, and this is just the way it is, it's supply and demand. But if you want to stay downtown near Bridgestone, you're going to wear that plastic out. You're going to wear that American Express out.
I'll bet.
So if you want to go and stay 4 or 5 nights, you're going to be in $1,500 to $2,000 into your room. What should you do about that, Ty?
Stay in the suburbs.
Oh, wrong answer.
He just said, he just softballed
just
it in
softballed
for you.
I just softballed one, T-balled one up for you.
Expensive.
There you
God
go.
Almighty.
Man, the one time you don't say expensive is the one time he sets it up
for
you.
He sets it up, yeah.
But yes. No, you, yeah, expensive.
Expensive.
And do that thing, too. But see, I've always thought it'd be kind of cool, too, if you had it to where you were rotating it via SEC sites, even.
How often, though?
Well, that's
the thing.
What
are you saying, every 3 or 4 years?
No, but I was just saying instead of having baseball.
Oh, baseball.
Sorry.
Okay.
I should have clarified. Baseball. If you had an SEC tournament at Baum Stadium, that'd be pretty cool. You could have it at LSU. I mean, baseball facilities by and large in the SEC are very nice.
Well, I mean, Mississippi State's just built maybe the best in the country.
Man, you got apartments and condos you can hang out in.
But do you really want your postseason championship? And, hey, other leagues do this.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't unprecedented. But do you want someone to have that home field? How would you feel, though, if you had to play LSU in their ballpark for the SEC championship?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Tommy.
Or South Carolina. I mean, I would imagine they'd feel the same way about having to come to Fayetteville to do it. But
yeah. I mean, there's other places, too, that you'd have more fans than anything.
Here's the thing. We all agree, though. They can do better than the Hoover Met.
Yes, yes. But, I mean, the thing is
and Nashville's pretty good, and you're not going to beat Atlanta. So
yeah.
They got a good
I just don't know,
minor
there,
league park down
there.
There
is something... That is something that has gone wrong, something that has soured between the Southeastern Conference administration and commissioners and the leader. And this is not a new problem in the city of Memphis because they don't ever have. You notice in this rotation,
there.
They don't ever have the SEC basketball tournament there.
Mm-mm. They used to have it at the
pyramid.
They
used to. Something has soured between those two parties where Memphis and the Southeastern Conference just don't see eye to eye on whatever it is.
And
don't say
why.
That Memphis isn't capable because they have NCAA regionals and you know, sub-regionals all the time. They'll have the Sweet 16 and Elite 8 there. They'll have a sub-regional there on a regular basis.
They have an NBA team that plays there. Don't tell me that.
What is it, the FedEx Forum?
Yeah,
they call it?
I mean,
I've been in that thing for a concert. I've not been for a basketball. There is, they got a great facility there, right in the heart of downtown.
Yeah.
So, I mean, talk about in 2023 or whatever Ty said a minute ago, it's going to go to Tampa, and then it's going to go back to Nashville, and so Memphis should be in that rotation 10 years from now. They should be playing it in Memphis. But for some reason, Memphis and the Southeastern Conference are not partners.
For whatever reason.
For whatever reason.
NOLA, too.
Yeah.
They need to throw NOLA in there.
Well, they do play in NOLA.
Follow the show on Twitter, at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope back. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch.
We've been talking about Chad Morris and the ceiling at Arkansas, and we have a lot of people commenting in via Twitter. Of course, we continue to take phone calls. 877-377-6963 is the number to call in. I've actually had a couple people say that there is no ceiling for Arkansas, that so they feel like that they can compete at a national championship level. Now, I'm sure that's just a little fanatic coming into it. But
clearly the ceiling is what, I mean, the top of the mountain is what Alabama and Clemson are doing right now consistently.
Mm-hmm.
To me, if you're going to say, well, what the ceiling is, well, can you compete 8 out of 10, 7 out of 10 years for a national championship? Because that's what Alabama has done. Mm-hmm. They've been in it a whole lot more than they've not. I don't ever think will any of us live long enough.
Well, yeah, because I think that, you know, Alabama's the gold standard.
And I don't, and listen, there's what, 100 and close to 130 programs or whatever now that play FBS football. There's about four out there that got the potential to do this.
Well, let's just start.
So let's just be honest about
right.
it. But that's ultimately what right. every program would like to do.
Right.
Is to go on an Alabama type run.
Of course. I mean, that's the gold standard. But let me just put it in right. perspective here. Can Arkansas be Oklahoma? Can they be that type of caliber where, not necessarily winning, because they haven't won a national championship since, well, I guess, what was it, 2001? 2001, somewhere in there. It's been a long time. That was Bob Stoops. But every year, they've been competing for it. They've played in games in the national championship. Right now, they've had Heisman Trophy winners.
They've been consistent in competing for it.
Yeah. So, even though they haven't won it, can Arkansas be that?
Which would be better than where you're at, but be still very frustrating.
Oh, of course.
To be that close.
Of course.
It would be like what happened in baseball this year. You go to the College World Series year after year after year, and then you never do it. You never bring home the
even though there was times you may have been the better team or you may have had the better chance at it, you're not able to do it, which I know can be frustrating, but that comes into play as far as, okay, so if you're Arkansas and you look at a place like Oklahoma, which, you know, you brought up recruiting grounds and all that.
Uh-huh.
The state of Oklahoma, yeah, they have some good recruits, but is it that much better of a hotbed?
Well, there's what, 3 million people in the state of Arkansas?
Close to it, yeah.
And I think there's closer to 5 million people in the state of Oklahoma, 4.5 to 5 million people. Now,
3.9, by the way, just looked it up.
In Oklahoma? Mm-hmm. I thought it's larger, bigger than that.
Yeah.
So it's not that much bigger.
Yeah, I
thought it was a little more, but you also split it with Oklahoma State,
yeah,
Tulsa to a degree, but where does Oklahoma make their bread and butter?
Texas.
They go right into that metro area, which is I-35 that runs right down there.
So why can't Arkansas?
Well, they're closer to Dallas, and they've got a lot more tradition, and they play in that league. And if you go get a kid from Texas, we're going to be playing. We know the Red River Rivalry or whatever the shootout or whatever they call it now. And then you're going to be playing TCU or Baylor or however many other games in the state of Texas every year. So you can go into a mama and daddy's grandparents' house and say, yeah, you're going to get to see your kid play. And you can drive 2 hours, 3 hours to these games. Or you can come to our home games, which are only 3 hours away, 4 hours away. And you're going to get to see these kids play. I mean, for a lot of them in the Dallas metro area, that hell, it's a lot further to go to Lubbock. Watch OU play at a place like Texas Tech, or obviously they play Kansas and Kansas State, but you get to play a lot of games in the state of Texas. That helps them.
Yeah.
People don't talk about that aspect enough. You hit that right on the head, because like family is a big yeah. thing for a lot of these kids. And so if they can play, as you mentioned, TCU, Lubbock, the Dallas game, like, yeah. that is, you can't say that if you're Chad Morris yeah,
you,
as much.
You got one. You play yeah. A&M there.
And that's it. You don't play in that Big 12 area. And that's yeah. a site that obviously Chad Morris is going to recruit not only the Dallas metro area where there's like 300 plus three-star kids, but all over Texas. And Lincoln Riley can say that. Gary Patterson mm-hmm. can say that. Tom Herman can say that.
Yep.
Chad Morris can't say that.
Based off that then, why doesn't Arkansas put their recruiting efforts into a different state, into a different area?
Because that's the biggest metro area of talent that
I
is
understand.
The nearest. Like,
I understand, but you're saying that you can't, by doing that, though, and you're not going to be able to have games in there, which I agree with you. That's a factor.
But see, I don't think it's about competing. John, I don't think it's about competing with OU for recruits. It's about competing with A&M. And things have changed in the state of Texas since A&M joined this league. Because there were kids in the state of Texas that wanted to play in the Southeastern Conference. And Arkansas was their best option, and in some cases their only option, if they couldn't get a scholarship at LSU. So they'd come to Arkansas. Well, now they got a third option, and in some cases their best option, which is to go to A&M.
Mm-hmm. But that's
so if you wanted to play in the SEC, Arkansas was one of your best choices 10 years ago, yes. 7 years ago.
Which I agree. But you have one school in the SEC now from Texas, which is Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. And you just mentioned about the plethora of talent that's in the entire state of Texas. Mm-hmm. And Texas, the University of Texas is doing a good job in recruiting. But besides that, you know, everyone's trying to go into the state of Texas. Alabama's going into the state of Texas to get recruits. Everybody wants to go into the state of Texas. And it's just... There's a lot of competition, but there's
a lot...
And
don't forget Oklahoma State, too.
Right. There's not a bad program. There's a lot of talent, though. There's enough talent to go around in that entire state.
Because why?
Point.
Because Texas is, what, about the fourth most populated state?
Yeah.
Dallas is about the fifth most populated metro area in the United States, something like that?
300-plus three-stars in the Dallas metro area.
It's just about numbers. And why do they have 300-plus... three-star plus player, whatever you just said. 300 players better than a three-star, I think is what you said. Why? Because how many million people live in Dallas?
Mm-hmm.
A lot. But you're right about
that. There's more in suburbs of Dallas than live in this whole state, you know? Combined like Plano and McKinney and Frisco and some of that area. Just, you know, not a very big area geographically, you know, square miles. And there's more people that live kind of in, you know, the outer part of Dallas than live in this state.
I mean, which is my point. There's plenty to go around, though.
You know, and then you get a place in Arkansas like the Central Arkansas area, which is just not producing you enough 4- and 5-star players. You got to go places like so. Okay, you're saying, well, you got all this competition there. So now where do you go? You got to go to places like Tulsa. Yeah, go place like Springfield, Missouri. Up into Missouri is another place you can go. But I still think Texas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma are in Arkansas. Arkansas is going to make their living. Chad Morris is going to succeed or fail based on how well they do in the state of Arkansas, Texas, Oklahoma, and Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I agree.
Not that you're not going to go get a Florida player every now and then or someone from Missouri or somewhere from some other state. But you're going to win or lose on those four states.
Yeah, which I get. But the thing is that you have so many players there in the state of Texas, so much talent that's there. And Texas A&M, they can only sign 25 guys.
Right.
Just like every other school, they can only sign 25 guys. And if some of those guys go to Texas A&M, some of those guys that go to Texas or whatnot, even, I know it sounds weird to say, but even if you get the leftovers from them, the scraps
we
going.
We just get their crumbs.
But if you get it, though, that's still a great setup. That's still a lot of great players that are coming in.
It's true. But that means you better develop those players and out-coach those coaches on the other sideline when you play A&M.
Can you not do that? Because A&M has had great recruiting for a long time now, and they haven't had anything to show for it.
Yeah, they only got Jimbo Fisher down there now.
Yeah, and he went 9-3 in his first year. Good.
His first year.
Does that mean he going to stay around? Does that mean he's going to be
And
great?
He only had the number 3 recruiting class in the country this last year. So, I mean, I think things are looking up at A&M is my point.
I know, but what I'm saying is that even when these coaches and these teams and on these programs, even they have these top recruiting classes, it doesn't always equate to the success.
I agree.
Still better than Arkansas. Yeah. I think you're kind of glossing over how the potential of Arkansas. I mean, like when you brought up over the SEC, McElroy talked about it on Bo's show, how his friends at Southlake wanted to go to Arkansas based on the fact that it was the only SEC school that they could possibly get into. You don't have that anymore because of A&M.
They can only sign 25 right. guys. You're telling me that once there's only like 10 guys there and it's like, oh, they're all going to A&M? Like, that's just not – you got to look at the numbers game of how many players that are coming out of the state of Texas and how you can step in, and you can't just look around and say, they signed 25 and Texas signed 25. We don't have – and there's no left. Like, that's not
listen,
how that works.
The University of Arkansas is a very popular place for Dallas area just students
very much so,
to go.
Yeah.
I mean, Ty's been on campus a lot more recently than you now that you're – you know, older guy in your 30s. But
so you say that, but the 7.5 years, it kind of measures up.
I was there during the mass exodus.
Drive around Fayetteville a little while. You'll see a lot of Texas tags.
That's right.
That's 60% Texas.
You know, with daddy's credit card.
That's
you
right.
all hanging out in Fayetteville.
That's right.
You know, because it's just a popular place for a lot of Texas students to go and go to school.
Cheaper to go to.
Can you get that to translate to Texas football players? I think you can, but you better start winning in order to get that snowball rolling downhill. I think I think players would come here, but you're going to have to prove to them, hey, you're going to come, you're going to win some games, and you're going to have a good shot at taking your career to the next level. Because that's all they're most of these kids are worried about, right?
That's right. And, you know, Chad,
can they play pro sports?
And Chad Moore's, again,
can
depends
they play
on
in the NFL?
It depends on what recruiting class and rankings and all that you're looking at. But we're talking about, say, anywhere between number 10 to number 17, as far as the ranking classes go. If Chad Moore gets three of those, four of those straight, where he's got in the top 15 recruiting, shouldn't they be a top 15 team? I know it's not a direct correlation, but can't they be a top 15 team? And isn't a top 15 team, in a lot of cases, competing for a national championship on occasion? Sure they are.
Top 10.
Well, whatever it is.
But that's a big difference.
You could be number 8 in the country and be 3rd in the division, though. That's the problem.
I understand.
Arkansas
To me, there's not a difference between 8th and 11th. Like, there's no
big
difference.
Well, but there is. If you look at the statistics, you don't win a national championship without having it. So if you're going to measure it, if you're going to say Arkansas competes, does that compete for a New Year's Six Bowl, or are you going to say compete for national championship? Because you're not going to win a national championship in today's day and age unless you have a top 10 recruiting class. Arkansas is not
well. So if you have an 11th recruiting class, if you have an 11th recruiting class, it's over. It's over.
Do you want to look? I mean, I'll look up the statistics for you.
Yeah,
I can do it right now because Clemson, I think Clemson is the only one in the last 10 to 15 years that has won a national championship without a top 10 recruiting class.
So they've done it.
At least one of those 4 years.
So they've done it. So it's happened.
So you think, okay.
But it's happened.
But you're going to.
You were saying it's a guarantee.
But Clemson doesn't play in the SEC West either.
Yeah. There's so many like variables that you're just kind of taking out of the equation.
Did they play an SEC West team?
They don't play week in, week out in the SEC West. No, they do not.
But they won a national championship.
John
thinks
Arkansas is a national championship contender with the top. Yeah.
No, but I'm saying that logic is flawed because you were saying that
I
it's
don't
a guarantee.
Disagree. If you're at 11 or 12, that doesn't exclude you. I agree. But you better be able to be 10, 11, or 12 3 or 4 years in
a row. And that's what I was saying. It's like if Chad Morris can get that type of recruiting
class. The problem
class
is we saw this year, 10, 11, or 12 is still 6th, 7th, 8th in the league.
And they weren't even that. They need to have a top 20 class in some services.
I know, but when you look at go back in the past 10 years, and I know we keep referring to Bobby Petrino's years, but it can be possible. LSU, A&M, Auburn, those type of programs had big-time recruiting classes year in and year out. What did they have to show for it a lot of cases? Auburn had 7 wins this past year. Texas A&M was a perennial 7-win team under of course, his name just escaped me, but Texas A&M.
You keep coming back. This state also produced Joe Adams, Jarius Wright, Tyler Wilson.
I understand.
All of those players who have been some of the best players in the last 10 to 15 years at their Arkansas all came out of the state of Arkansas at that time.
I understand. You have to have timing. It has to all come together at once, but I am saying that the recruiting class and the recruiting rankings doesn't always mean that just because you don't have number 5, you only have number 12, completely eliminates you from national championship contention.
But being number 5 helps.
It does help. You want to be higher. I get it. But it doesn't completely rule you out for a championship.
Subscribe to Hit That Line on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it.
We also welcome in former Razorback quarterback Tyler Wilson into the show. And Tyler, we get back-to-back Tyler Wilsons in the back-to-back days, man. What an honor. What a great thing to have you on, man.
Two separate guys, you know. I mean, you sounded like you had another guest on, not me, yesterday. There's a guy that has a I think there's a couple of them running around in Northwest Arkansas, and I'll walk into a meeting occasionally, and something, and or I'll get a phone call. It's mostly David Basil will give me a he'll shoot me a text and be like, "Hey, can you give me a couple hotel rooms?" I'm like, "Who are you talking to?"
Like,
you know, and there's another guy running around up there in Northwest Arkansas by the same name, and I'm like, "David, I'm not in the hotel business. I'm sorry."
Yeah.
Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah.
Not yet.
Give it time. You may end up taking something over. Well, something that we've been talking about a lot, Tyler, this morning, had a lot of phone calls from it all, is just about the ceiling that Arkansas football has and if Chad Morris can break through that ceiling. Because there seems like in every other sport at the University of Arkansas, everyone feels like they can compete for a national championship as long as they have the right guy in place. But in football, it seems like, well, even if you get a really good coach, you're still not going to be to that level of the Clemsons and Oklahomas and Ohio States and Alabamas and that. Just because you're Arkansas, you only have so far you can go. Do you see that the same way? Do you agree that there's only so much and so much success Arkansas football can have because of the setup that they have right now?
I mean, currently, like in the next 3 years, yeah, there's limitations. You know, but I don't think you can ever say never because – perfect example, and you know, Clemson, I mean, I think what's interesting is the hire that we just made has, you know, direct correlations to Clemson. We've talked about that over and over again. You know, I think Chad Morris is a perfect example. He's seen what's gone on there. We've seen from distance what's gone on at Clemson. And, you know, there's some built-in advantages, proximity to Atlanta, those kind of things that school has that Arkansas will never have. But, you know, when we sit and look at the deficiencies and we talk about some of the deficiencies, like, you know, how does Oklahoma get inside, you know, the top five every single year in terms of recruiting? How does, you know, I think Tuscaloosa, Alabama is not a haven of you know, I just look at what Fayetteville offers and what other schools around us are able to do in terms of recruiting and what they, I mean, if you compare and lack, as it relates to, you know, lifestyle, living. Not too long ago, I was able to go to virtually every one of these schools in the SEC and take a look at what they've got, not only as a recruit, but then as a player and going and playing in all these places. You know, different from a fan's perspective, because you guys see it on Saturday afternoon and you see it, you know, what it looks like in game day. But, you know, when you're able to walk through the halls of the schools and get the vibe of the full campus over a weekend and you know, see how they're run and the academic side and all of the things that are offered, there was no question that Arkansas had some of the best, not only in the SEC, in the country. And, you know, I still feel that way. I think the challenge is, you know, getting the kids to even consider Arkansas as an option. There's a lot of kids that don't even come to a visit. Yeah, once you get them here, they realize, whoa, what in the world is this place? But getting them here, I think, is a challenge. And you know, that's up to the coach. And I think Chad's done a great job. Coach Morris has done a great job over the last year. And obviously you see the boost in recruiting. Just over the last year alone with Chad Morris. But what I really like is you know, that point about Missouri there. I mean, there's absolutely no reason Missouri should compete. I mean, the proximity to Kansas City, proximity to St. Louis, you know, there's talent beds there that are advantages Arkansas doesn't have. But in terms of facilities, not even in the ballpark.
Yeah. And that was the thing, too, is because I find it interesting that when recruit, because depending on the sport you look at, but a lot of recruits, at least this day and age, especially the elite level ones, they're looking at pretty much two things. I know there's other things, too, but they're looking at what program is going to be a winning program and what program is going to put them in the NFL or in the NBA or whatever's going to give them the best pathway to that. And that's the thing with, like, say, Arkansas football right now. You have nothing to look or point towards to say, well, Chad Morris, he puts a lot of players in the NFL because he hasn't been around that long as a head coach, or Arkansas is a winning program even though they only won two games last year. You can't really do that too. So it's like you're having to find a different aspect and a different angle if you're Chad Morris to recruit a lot of these guys, because I feel like those five-star players, they care about who puts them in the NFL and they care about winning.
Well, you know, it's interesting too, back to the cities. You know, how many of these colleges are in cities? Very few of them. They're all in college, quote unquote, college town. You got Austin that's in a city, or you got University of Texas is at Austin that's in a city. You got Dallas. Let's say I want to be an athlete and go live in Dallas. That's a fun place to live. Well, you got SMU and you got TCU over in Fort Worth, but none of those are perennial powers.
Well, if cities mattered, Vanderbilt would be good in football and basketball.
That's my point. And then you got Nashville, which has got it's got Vandy, and no one considers them a perennial power. So let's look
in baseball. Somehow they figure it out in baseball. So,
but the powers are in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Auburn, Alabama, Athens, Georgia, not Atlanta, Georgia. Athens, Georgia. Go over here to Norman, Oklahoma. That's not a sexy place to live by any stretch of the imagination. Stillwater and Columbia, Missouri. I mean, those are the schools that are surrounding us. You know, I mean, Oxford, Mississippi. I mean, how about the kid that just finished the combine? Did you guys watch the kid?
You talking about DK Metcalf?
DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
My goodness. Going to Oxford, Mississippi.
Yeah, and getting that that good and looking that way, man. I mean, that's the thing is, like, people are looking at. They see other places, like some of the places you just mentioned, and it gives the idea of why not Fayetteville, why not Arkansas, when these places around them are not completely similar, but we share some similarities of why can't they be that next program? Why can't they be one of those places that does compete nationally and getting big time recruits in that are going to be top 10, top 15 draft picks. I mean, why not Fayetteville?
Guys, I made this point all along. I mean, you get the Baker Mayfields of the world running around Dixon Street. I don't know how many. I've never been to Norman, Oklahoma. I've never been down the.
Count your blessings.
Right. But my point is, why are the kids that play, and not even kids, why are the Heisman Trophy winning players of all other colleges hanging out on Dixon Street?
It's the place to be. It'll get you.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, if Arkansas's got nothing to offer, it's Cowtown, USA, no one's interested in being here, then why's the guy that's winning the Heisman Trophy at the other school? And not just one guy winning the Heisman Trophy. You got two or three guys over there at Oklahoma that have won Heisman Trophies that hang out here regularly. Yeah. So I'm just, that's a thought process that I think very few
don't
even consider.
I don't know the reason, but I bet she's pretty. So
yeah,
that's all I would say.
I would probably make that assumption as well. Let's go back to the phone lines. Porter's in Ozark. What's going on, Porter?
Yeah, good morning, guys. I just kind of giving Ty a little education on Clemson, and you know, a lot of people just know now what they're doing, but you know, it began somewhere.
That's right.
And you know, there used to be a joke about Clemsoning. You know, our biggest win used to be South Carolina. You know, or beating Florida State every now and then. We used to be in the same spot Arkansas was. I always, you know, mirrored those programs. It can be done. And Tyler was talking about the location of these towns. There's 16,000 people in Clemson. That's like putting the U of A in Clarksville. You know, there ain't nowhere around to go do anything, go look around. I mean, you've got to drive 40 minutes to the nearest town where you can go do something. You know, you've got to get somebody to buy in, like a coach, that can buy in and build a family around that, get the assistant, and then start building your program. I mean, Clemson still ain't getting top five recruiting programs. They're getting 7, 8, 9, 10, 16. You know, it's just you got to develop the players that you get. But for a lot of these people to say that it can't be done in Arkansas, well, it was done at Clemson, and you know, you still got to beat those SEC teams to win a national championship. So, I mean, it can be done.
Yeah, it absolutely.
Thank you, guys.
And I appreciate the phone call, Porter. I've always felt bad. There's different ways to skin a cat. I mean, there's different ways to go about. You don't have to have the Alabama model, although it's the gold standard, to be able to be competitive. I mean, you could do it different ways, and we've seen examples of it. It's just with Arkansas and its football program in general, and I don't know what y'all think about this, but I feel like it's mainly because Arkansas hasn't been as close to the national championship conversation as basketball and baseball and all these other sports recently, or at least been consistently in that conversation. It's been a few years here and there. And I wonder how many people just think about it just because of how Alabama's at and how far away you are right now from even being close to that of Alabama. It's probably got a lot of people soured on it as well. But I just feel like with what Arkansas has, it's not impossible. And like you said, Tyler, you never want to say never. It's just you got to be you got to be upfront about the disadvantages that they're going to have in the uphill battle they're going to have.
It doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
I think that's what we're all going. So in the current situation, you're going, you know, next year. I mean, if anybody even has that in their mindset, you're on a different planet. But 5 years from now, 10 years from now, if you've got the same coach, you've got the same system, you're seeing continual progress. Yeah, you move it along, and things can change. Change in a hurry. But, you know, and I say a hurry, meaning not overnight, but, you know, in the scale of 10 years, if you look forward and said, all right, Arkansas is going to be a top 10 program from 2025 to 2030. And I know that sounds like, you know, forever away, but, you know, there's a 5-year stretch where we're inside the top 5 programs in the country. I mean, which is what Clemson's doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's not, I think those timelines, who knows what could happen. But, I mean, I would not put that, you know, as pie in the sky, that 5 years from now, with the right coach, with the right group, with the continuity, that structure, you build it, then, you know, how long it lasts. I mean, you can see how quick it can crumble. I mean, if Dabo left Clemson right now, you know, where would Clemson resort back to what they've been over the last, you know, 30, 40 years? Probably.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the likelihood is, I mean, you're only as good as the guy that's stirring the pot. And, you know, I think Clemson would suffer drastically from losing Dabo Swinney. I think Arkansas suffered drastically from losing Bobby Petrino.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, it's a matter of when you do find that guy, how long do you last?
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.